Dr. Stashko, why don't you go ahead and start your introduction?
Okay, sounds good. Many of us on the calls here do different forms of energetic work, and some of you know me, some of you don't. And over the past 20 years, I guess I've probably tried almost every technique and so that many of you have. And I've always been an old applied kinesiology type practitioner. My first couple of years in practice, I studied AK for a number of years and used it in my chiropractic practice, and then was always looking for better ways to assess information, to get information from the body and find out what products test the best for patients. And got involved a few years ago with some EAV testing, and there are those of you on the phone tonight that are excellent EAV practitioners. The things that I'm going to present tonight are not in any way saying it's the answer to everything. It's a technique that I find myself personally has worked very well. It's a very simple muscle response type testing technique that I use. It's actually blended about 7 or 8 different techniques together to actually come up with the method I'm using. And it seems to work very well for the energetic testing that we do with the Vital Force products. But with EAV, I always found some shortcomings personally for myself, and that's what kind of brought me back to looking at the applied kinesiology testing. And in studying pure AK, of course, we're looking at special muscles that we do test, not group muscles, but for instance, if we test the psoas muscle, it generally relates to a kidney dysfunction or possibly a kidney meridian imbalance going on within the system. So strict AK practicing, this is not what this is tonight. When you do AK, you're pretty much testing one single muscle at a time and getting a response from that. And those of you who have done applied kinesiology, you know where I'm coming from. The muscle response testing is more or less a simple yes and no answer. And I think the reason why it works so well with the energy tool products is that we're dealing on a purely energetic level with these products, on a subtle energy level, on a level that responds very well to this particular type of testing and the reflex points that we test off of. Again, studying AK for years, I got into some basic alarm point testing. You got into some CRA-type testing, which many of you probably know about. And, of course, this went into numerous techniques with reflex testing, which we can spend hours discussing. But it's all basically the same principle of touching a certain reflex on the body, which corresponds to an alarm point or to a specific acupuncture point and getting some information. The problem I saw with the alarm point testing and also with the reflex testing is there was a lot of false positives and false negatives that would come up during the testing procedure. And a lot of times there was variabilities where if the practitioner that day wasn't feeling very well and was testing a patient who was healthier than them, many times you would test the response of what's wrong with you off the patient you were testing. So it had some shortcomings with the body reflex testing. It's not to say that some of these techniques don't work. They definitely do. But I wanted to find more objective ways of really getting the information that was more consistent. And I feel this was one of the problems with EAV personally. There are so many protocols out, so many different people teaching EAV analysis. And I don't think we really have a good sound protocol that can be taught consistently enough. And this is what I think led me away from being an EAV practitioner and pretty much going back to searching for techniques with muscle response testing. So that's kind of where I'm coming from in my practice right now. I do probably 90% energy work and 10% chiropractic. And what I want to get into tonight is to share this procedure with you, both with testing a muscle group and for those people who have a lot of children in their practice or elderly patients or people who just can't get a strong deltoid muscle group to test. A simple method of looking at leg length analysis, too, to really give us some information on these energetic products. First of all, what I want to mention is the muscle response testing. Like I mentioned earlier, this is not applied kinesiology in its purest form. This is simply finding a group muscle that tests strong in the clear. And this is so important. A lot of people will shy away from muscle testing because they don't know for sure if they're pushing hard enough or if they're catching the patient between a breath, so on and so forth. But I'm going to give you 2 simple techniques to use that if you practice it within maybe 10 patients, you'll really catch on to the feel with this muscle response testing. It's really quite simple to access. Again, I mentioned muscle response testing tests a group muscle. And this is very important to look at this as a group muscle. The easiest one is the deltoid group. And why I like that so much is you can test the patient standing up, you can test the patient lying down, you can test the patient seated. it gives you so many variabilities on ways you can test the patient with that particular muscle group. And in most people, you can find either one arm to be strong or both arms to be strong for an accurate test. In my practice now, I do most of my testing lying down. In other words, I'm standing at the head of the table using the deltoid 90 degrees to the actual table to the patient and getting a response that way. Two reasons why I switched to testing this way is many times when you're testing straight on with the patient and you're accessing the deltoid group and you're facing face-to-face with the patient, many times you can get a weak response just by the patient's energy within your energy field because you're pretty much right in line with the patient facing them. And again, a lot of times it would give us a false response with muscle testing because if the patient was healthier that day, they could elicit a weakness off of you or actually drain your energy from your body in muscle response testing. And we've all seen this with people in practice, that there are people sometimes that you can get in the room for the very first time that for some reason there's something that's not clicking there. There's either some feeling of negativity they have to the testing, or until you can educate them on what this is about, that can play a part face-to-face with the patient. But when you have the patient lying down and you're at the head of the table, you are not directly in line with their energetic field. So therefore, that variability is taken out of the testing. And I found it to be very, very much more accurate in doing it in that particular way. A way you can do this if you wish to test standing or sitting down is to not directly face the patient. Have them place the arm more or less forward of their body and stand to the side of the patient and muscle test. And this way you're not directly lined up within that energetic field. And these simple little things make a big difference in getting a pure muscle response test or pretty much giving up on it and saying, well, I don't believe this muscle testing really works. So that's the way I'm doing it now primarily, is the patient is lying supine on an adjusting table or a massage table, and I'm standing at the head of the table and looking for a strong muscle response that way. Any questions on that so far? Okay, so since we established what a muscle test is or muscle response testing is, there are three things that we want to basically get from this testing. One is the main way I test, called direct resonance testing, which we're going to get into in a little while, and how to access the energy products with this method. Another method is therapy localization testing. And this is a very good method for those of you who might be chiropractors who are just beginning to dabble in energy medicine, or those of you who are just want to get a feel for what a muscle test is like, that you can directly therapy localize an injured area and get information that way. And we'll discuss that procedure toward the end. And if we have time, we'll also go into a little bit of the meridian oil chakra balancing. Those of you who've got the 12 oils, there's some real interesting things you can do with them in reference to the Chinese five elements. And if we have time, we'll kind of touch on what I've been playing with that. And if you have any feedback on this, you know, feel free to tell me also, and we can all learn together from this. So let's get right into the meat and potatoes of this so we can start using this tomorrow or whenever. Okay, the first important thing is the muscle response test. So again, like I mentioned before, we want to try to find a group muscle because a group muscle test will give us much more accurate information. And the first thing you want to do is you want to test the arm strength and have the patient very gently push up just gradually against your hand, which should be resting all around the top portion of the wrist crease. And ask the patient to push gently against your hand first and then tell them you're going to push and have them resist. This is a technique which again helps people who are learning muscle testing to get a feel for what a strong muscle is. Because what we're doing is we're activating a G2 submax response in the muscle fiber. And there's a lot of biophysiology and chemistry and neurology behind this, but basically what we're doing here is we want to have the patient elicit a little force against us first before we muscle test. And then you can really feel that locking reaction if a muscle is strong. Whereas if we don't do this, and again, as you get better at this, you don't have to do that little technique, is that many times we feel like we're overpowering the patient, or the patient says, well, you caught me between a breath or such. So if we do it in this particular method, we can get a much more accurate feel for what a strong locked muscle group is. And what we're trying to feel is when we tell the patient to elicit a little force up against my hand, and then I'm going to push down, now resist. As they push up, you push down, you're going to feel a muscle will lock. It's not a test of strength. Those of you who have seen other techniques where you crank the arm down, I mean, we're not here to out-muscle somebody. We're here to get a feel for what a muscle feels like when it locks. And that's a very important piece of the puzzle to learn right off the bat, because once you feel this, it's like riding a bicycle for the very first time. Once the training wheels come off, you can really go with that bike and never forget how to ride it. So that's very important to learn the G2 muscle test. And again, we can go into this a little more if it's confusing to others. I'm trying to get as much information in the basics in so then we can get into the testing. So we've covered the muscle response testing, and we found that, let's say, a patient has a strong right deltoid response, or we have a nice locking mechanism. The next step we do, actually there's two steps we're going to do before we do the direct resonance testing of remedies. The next step that's very imperative that we do is we must check for brain neurology. And there's a lot of people in chiropractic studying the diplomat neurology programs and getting into a very long study program, which I think is excellent. But this particular method is one piece of that program of studying. And what we're trying to find out here is, do we have right and left brain balance? And this is extremely important before we do any more direct testing of products. If we do EAV testing, if we do any other form of energy testing, we must have balanced neurology, because without balanced neurology, we cannot have good immunology. So therefore, the immune system and all of the body's major functions will not respond if the brain-body connection is off. I found by learning this piece of the puzzle, it has been tremendous, because the number of people that are neurologically switched, which is part of this testing with brain neurology, and more importantly, having a cerebellum deficiency, either right or left cerebellum, which affects the right and left side of the brain, this part of the puzzle is imperative that we test for. And the simple way that we can test for this is, again, we can do muscle testing, which I'll explain a simple procedure to find a way to test this. Or those of us who do neurological testing can do the old ortho-neurotype testing, where we can have a patient do a Romberg's test, or we can do a Trendelenburg test. Those of you who know what they are know what I'm talking about, or finger pass pointing. What we're trying to elicit with the neuro test, like for instance the Romberg's, is we're trying to find out which cerebellum is deficient. And the simple test for the Romberg's is we have the patient stand with their feet together, we stand behind the patient or in front of the patient and have them close their eyes. And what we're looking for is to see if the patient sways right or left, what direction they tend to fall into, if it's more a right sway or a left sway. So let's say we see the patient after maybe 5 or 10 seconds swaying to the right. That's usually indicative of a right cerebellum fault, okay? And we know, again, not getting into all this neurology, but we know that the right side of the body, the sensory impulses on the right side are interpreted through the right cerebellum and fed to left brain, and vice versa. Left side of the body, sensory impulses to left cerebellum, crossing over to right brain. So we have to make sure that the cerebellum is interpreting this information, because the importance of the cerebellum is it's the part of the brain that keeps us balanced in gravity. It's the part of the brain that actually upregulates every state of our body's function. It works with the heart rate. It helps us with balance and digestive system, immune response. Again, getting back to how important the brain and nervous system is to the rest of the body, we must have that connection, because without that connection, we can many times get wrong information, or we won't see a patient progress as fast with therapy if we don't have this brain working properly. So basically, that's the importance of the brain neurology. Now, the muscle test, for those of you who want to keep this for muscle response testing, comes from a book by Dr. John Diamond. It was called Life Energy. This has been on the bookshelves for years. And it's simply trying to elicit through muscle response testing which one of the brain is weak. Is it left hemisphere weakness? Is it right hemisphere weakness? And the way we muscle test for this is very simple. We have the patient stand straight up, or they can be lying down. Take the right hand with the palm area facing the parietal section of the right side of the head, just above the ear. And they're off maybe 2 or 3 inches. They're not actually touching the head. And then we test the left muscle, the left side, and we see if we have strength. If the muscle locks while they're actually therapy localizing off of the right parietal region, then the right side or right hemisphere is normal. If it would go weak while they were in that position, we would have a right hemisphere dominant. Okay? If The right hemisphere does not weaken. If the muscle does not weaken with the hand in that position, we immediately then have them cross over with the same hand, the right palm now, and go over to the left parietal region, just above the ear, and test again. And usually we would have a weakness there, which would be left hemisphere dominance. You're going to find that you're going to have one side or the other, or they're both going to be balanced. But a vast majority of the patients you'll see out there have this switching phenomena or this right-left hemisphere imbalance that really messes up our energetic testing. So I really tell everyone out there to really test for this. It's extremely important. You will find tons of people that have this imbalance. Now, the products that tend to balance this, there's numerous ways to balance the cerebellum, but the simplest products that I see from the energy tools is a combination of clear mind and balance most of the time will bring this hemisphere imbalance back into synchronization. And I simply give the people a few drops of the remedies. Now, what I'll do energetically is take the vials for clear mind and balance and hold them on top of the head. I'll explain this point when we get into direct resonance testing shortly, and then go back and rescreen them for right and left hemisphere. And it's amazing, just having them hold the vials on governing vessel 20 will temporarily balance them because it's in their energetic field. It's that powerful of a response. And then what I'll do is I'll just give them a dose of whatever comes up. So the four remedies, but the two that come up most of the time are clear mind with balance, or stress relief and CNS support. So they're kind of like the four that I would test on right-left brain imbalances for most people. Okay, any questions on the brain neurology?
Okay. Are you simply doing polarity?
You can do polarity, but the problem with polarity is you're generally getting one part of information, which is neurological switching. With the right-left hemisphere, we're taking in the whole idea of the cerebellum imbalances tied in with the actual neurological switching. So it covers a more broader area. But yes, you can simply therapy localize the point between the two eyebrows and see if you get a weakness and then see what strengthens that muscle. Or what you're going to see there is when you therapy localize that point with the index finger, it should basically give a muscle response of weakness. If it stays strong, then we have a switching problem. But this right-left brain technique is so much easier, and it gives us more information. Okay, so that's the first thing we have to test before the direct resonance testing is the brain neurology and which products will basically balance this. The second most important thing besides brain neurology after we cover this is testing for blocked autonomic nervous system regulation. This comes from the work of Dietrich Klinghardt's work. Those of you who have taken autonomic response testing, ART, some other techniques will show this too at reflex testing. But the blocked regulation is very important because what could happen here is we could have something blocking the autonomic nervous system that will not elicit a deep healing response before we even test for products. And if this is going on, it's going to hamper the healing process on anything that we use for that patient. So it's another very powerful technique to test for. And the way we test for this, the simplest way, is we take either the practitioner's hand or the patient's hand, and we hyperextend the palm as far back as the fingers can reach. We're actually like hyperextending and spreading our fingers out as far back as we can. And what we're doing is we're taking the center of our palm, doesn't matter which hand you use, and we're putting this directly over the umbilicus region. And what we're looking for with the hand in hyperextension, the fingers back, and the palm directly on the umbilicus is we're looking for a strong locked muscle now to weaken. If that muscle stays strong, then basically we don't have blocked regulation. The muscle will change. It'll go from strength to weakness. And again, why this is important is because if blocked regulation is going on, the body cannot heal as fast as it can if the regulation is open in the nervous system. And the products that will open regulation, again, are, you're going to see some repeats with this, stress relief, oxygen plus, very powerful, foundation, or GI aid. They seem to be the primary ones that will open regulation. And again, if none of these actually cause the muscle to go back to a strength response, then you can look at things like the rest of the line, the immune support. We can look at many times tranquility. It might be a mental emotional situation that's blocking the ANS. Over the years, I've kind of gotten away from chasing the bugs and chasing whatever particular toxin might be in there. Because in reality, when the body is toxic, it's toxic all over. And you could have a combination of viruses, a combination of parasites. The whole internal milieu can be messed up due to infections or due to environmental toxins and poisons. So I kind of quit chasing and naming what it could be. What I'm kind of doing is more or less giving the body what it needs to change its own internal environment. And I find, again, my personal view on this is that the body knows what it has to do when it's given the right things. And even from a legal standpoint, if you start naming certain things, you could be opening yourself up to different things depending what your license dictates in your area. So I've kind of gotten away from chasing the organisms and really naming what's there and pretty much just putting back what the body needs to heal. One more thing I wanted to mention also with the Blox regulation, another product which is new to the line, which many of you probably had some success with other methods of testing, has been the Rosa Absolute. I've been finding that what that tends to correlate, if it opens up Blox regulation in the ANS, is usually deep-seated food allergies. And this is a major, major, major problem for healing with people. A lot of times people's diets and the foods they're putting into their system, they're either sensitive to or they're allergic to. And if we don't start changing that and really talking more about what they're putting in diet-wise, this can be a block in the ANS response also. So again, to clarify this testing for Blox regulation, and again, when this is over tonight, feel free to ask as many questions as you can. I had told Constance a while back that sometimes it's difficult trying to do this all verbally because I'm kind of a person, I like to see something done. I can learn it much faster that way. But I'm trying to get as much information so we can generate some questions on this. And feel free to ask anything that might be confusing because I want to be sure that you guys have a handle on this tonight, which is important because it really is a neat little technique. After we check for the brain neurology, and we then go into checking for Blox regulation, and again, the simple way we do this is we go back to our muscle response test. We want to find a strong muscle. The muscle is nice and strong. And now what we're going to do is take the palm of our hand or the patient's hand, extend the fingers back as far as we can, and really expose that palm area. Now, the reason why that's important is in the center of our palm is a very dense matrix of sympathetic nerve fibers. And it just so happens that the umbilicus is also a very dense area of sympathetic nerve fibers. And when we actually connect both of these areas through a polarity type response, that's how we're actually eliciting the yes-no response with the muscle. It's pretty interesting how that works. Many of you don't want to touch the umbilicus. You can also get the same response on testing either directly over the open mouth or over each ear or one ear separately. There's also some dense sympathetic fibers in response to there. But the way this was taught with ART was specifically over the umbilicus for the testing. So we have the palm over the umbilicus, hands, fingers spread back. We're looking for a muscle to change. The strong muscle should weaken. If the muscle doesn't change, the ANS is not blocked. Then we go on to direct resonance testing. Okay? So the direct resonance testing now is what I will do third after I make sure the brain neurology is clear and after I make sure there's no ANS blockage. Without testing those two things before, many, many times I think this has been some of the pitfalls with direct body reflex testing because we were getting a chaotic information from the system. Other things weren't balanced first before we can get deeper into the layers and what we have to actually find. And that's my spin pretty much on what I feel it is. The neat thing about direct bioresonance testing is that it's very much unique to homeopathic products and these energy products. I don't see it work as well for orthomolecular. And again, that's a whole other ball game of testing we can get into sometime. But generally for your energy products, the direct resonance testing is very, very easy to access the information. So now what we're going to do is the two points that we test the vials on of the energy tool products are governing vessel 20 or governing vessel 26. The reason why governing vessel 20 is preferably the point that I use is that it's found if you drew a line from the tip of each ear directly up to the top of the head where the lines will bisect, that's governing vessel 20 in acupuncture. It's a very, very powerful acupuncture point. Matter of fact, it's known as the point of 100 meetings in acupuncture. And what seems to happen here is that when you hold the homeopathic substance or a very strong, subtle energy substance, at this point, we're asking a very specific question on how is this substance affecting the body systemically? How is it affecting the entire organism? And this is what I found to be very powerful, because again, now we take out all the variabilities on, is the liver the primary? Is the kidney the primary? Is it pancreas? It's everything. We're concerned holistically with the whole body. And in being able to test on this GV20 point, we're asking a yes-no question on, is this remedy going to affect this body systemically or not? And I find that to be very powerful in getting the clinical changes. So again, what we're going to do then is whatever we found through brain neurology or through block regulation, we'll put the remedies on the side, because many times they're going to repeat themselves anyway with direct resonance testing. And the next thing I'll do with direct resonance testing is I will go to my test kit and I'm going to look for remedies that affect the immune system. Because we all know the second brain, as we talked about brain neurology earlier, the second brain is in our gastrointestinal tract. And the important thing is, this is where a lot of these dysbiotic organisms harbor their problems, is in the large intestine, small intestine, more specifically the small intestine and GI tract. So the first remedy that I'm going to look for are remedies that are going to affect the immune system. Now, if I look at the patient's case history, if I look at the health appraisal forms, which they fill out, I can get some information pretty much on what remedies to look for. If the person sitting across from me is in with a severely infected nasal cavity or a high fever or a sore throat, the first remedy I'm going to look for is going to be acute immune. Because you want to use your cookbook effect to a degree, too, on understanding the remedies and what they address. And also, if you do health appraisals, it gives you a lot of vital information from what the patient is filling out. And I think the biggest things we forget as practitioners sometimes, too, is we get so caught up in this high-tech stuff of electrodermal devices or different types of testing, even the AK to a degree, and we forget to take a good case history. And many times the patient will tell you what their problem is just by going through a good, concise case history or health appraisal. So don't discount looking at all the information to actually look for remedies first. But what I've learned from the ART work, which I think is something I want to pass on to everybody, is that you can get lost in a jungle of therapies out there. You can drive yourself crazy. Those of you who have done this as long as I have know all the different products we've had on our shelves over the years, and we still sometimes tend to put on our shelves. But to make it simple, there are only a couple things that can go wrong with the body once we get past opening up the neurology and making sure regulation is open. The first and foremost thing is what is affecting our immune system. And again, if you want to name, if it's a virus, if it's a bacteria, that's totally up to you. But I'm concerned on what products I can put into that system that's going to help the body's immune system fight whatever it's dealing with. So again, the first things I'm going to look for on direct resonance testing is immune system support. So let's say, for instance, I pick out thymus, okay, because this patient has a long-standing infective history. They're an older patient. So I'm kind of looking at what thymus deals with and chronicity of infections and such. And how do I know if the patient needs the remedy? Here's the beauty of this direct resonance testing. All you have to do is take the vial or the actual bottle. You can hold it on governing vessel 20. The patient can hold it on governing vessel 20. It really doesn't matter. And you simply go back to looking for the strong, locked deltoid response. And if the muscle changes, not staying strong now, if the muscle goes from a locked muscle group to a weakened muscle group, that's called resonance testing. That's a positive sign in energetic medicine now with the products we're using that that is a product that can definitely help that patient. Okay? So if I put acute immune up there and I tested the strong muscle group and it was rock solid, then I know that the acute immune isn't the best product suited for that patient at that time. And then I would check, like I mentioned, thymus, and let's say immune support caused the change. Bingo. I found my substance that's going to address the immunity issue that's going on. Now, what I will do, which is interesting with this, I will keep that product in circuit with them, either put it in their belt, put it in a honeycomb, have them hold it, put it on the body somewhere, because now I want to see a deeper layer. I want to see if the immune system is purely a response to something like an infection that might be triggering an immune response, or is it something deeper that's causing that? Will the body show me another level? if we take the immune support, now it could be immune support and thymus, could be two or three coming up, but to keep it simple, let's just say it's one. If immune support I now place on the body, and now I go back and I want to check, is there a deeper petrochemical problem or a heavy metal? Again, thinking from how I used to think before, I'll look for a product like Oxygen Plus or Foundation, because those products will address deeper toxicity levels, oxidative stresses within the body. And let's say, for instance, we take Oxygen Plus. Now, immune support is on the body, which showed us the first layer. And now I go to Oxygen Plus, and there's a weakness again, muscle changes. Now I know I'm addressing a deeper problem to probably why the immune system is weak to begin with and what allowed the organisms to harbor a host area to live in. Okay? So now I know I can also treat something on a deeper level, which might be a heavy metal, it might be a petrochemical, it doesn't really matter. We just know from what the products do what we're trying to attain from this. And then I'll look at the last issue, which would be, is there a mental-emotional component to this? And usually what I'll do then is I'll throw Harmony in circuit, checking off GV20, or Tranquility, or stress relief if it didn't test before, and that would tell me that there's basically an emotional component also. So we have an immune system response, we have possibly a deep toxicity of some type, which is Oxygen Plus is addressing, and we might have Tranquility showing up, which could be a deeper emotional issue that's tied up. So we have basically a layering effect of what's going on with this patient. And let's say from the brain neurology, they tested for stress relief and clear mind. And these are the products, stress relief and clear mind, Oxygen Plus, and let's say it was thymus. That's what I'd recommend for my patients to take that particular time, along with my orthomolecular balancing, which is another whole way of testing. But then I feel I'm covering the energetic side of the body, which the subtle energies cover, which I feel personally cover much more deeper than homeopathy does. And I now will find the biochemistry, the orthomolecular nutrition, and the hydration issue that could be there. Basically, that's the testing in a nutshell for direct resonance. And what we find with this governing vessel 20 and 26, now 26 is used a lot in the philantrum area, which is right where the top lip area is. That one's used a lot when you're looking for food allergies. It's a little more specific for food allergies. But GV20 is the primary point that you would test the subtle energies off of. And you'll be amazed. You will totally be amazed on what shows up. And the neat thing about this is you're prioritizing, because maybe you might find three immune products like immune support, GI aid, and then you'll throw in foundation and it won't weaken. So therefore the body's saying, I'm not ready to go deeper. I'm ready to treat the immune issue first. And this is what I think is a major issue that's been missing too, is we don't have a priority of what do we test first. Some camps will say the heavy metals harbored the fungal infections, and that's why the fungus is there, because it's protecting the body from further detoxification of heavy metals. I've heard so many things over the years, as I'm sure you have, but now we have a system that we can really prioritize what do we give first and when. Another thing I want to mention too is that many, many times on a new patient, if I find brain neurology not doing well and I find blocked regulation, I won't even do direct resonance testing that first visit. I'll get them started on balancing the brain-body connection and opening up the regulation and see in a month. And in doing that, you're not giving the body too much, because sometimes you can give so much that it's like going to a smorgasbord and you're really hungry and you just go there and eat everything you see in sight. And all of us know what happens to us. We kind of sit back in our chair and have a terrible tummy ache after that. So the idea with this resonance testing, it gives us a layering effect, which, again, in my practice, I found to be very beneficial and very, very quick to test. Are there any questions on direct testing? I hope I went through that pretty clear, but again, we can throw some questions around if you have questions. Either it was pretty clear, I've confused everybody.
Actually, you mentioned orthomolecular tests. You know, I'd be interested to know more about that.
I find you have to have some way of objectively seeing where a patient's health status is. Now, many people will use biological terrain assessment. I personally, as Dr. Marangel does, I use heart rate variability. And I really urge people out there, if they don't have a heart rate, to really think about getting one. Because with heart rate variability, you get so much information objectively on what you can really do orthomolecularly for these patients. I can take a heart rate and look at it and pretty much know what orthomolecular products I'm going to recommend for the patient just by where their energy levels are on the physiological response and adaptative reserves. where the ANS is, if they're really down-regulated on the parasympathetic. All of these things give good information on the orthomolecular. I used to do some muscle testing with that, too, and you can do muscle testing with orthomolecular, but you're looking at it from a different standpoint, and I can just touch on it briefly here a little bit. If I'm going to test a multiple vitamin, for instance, what I will do, and this is a little different than direct resonance testing, what I will do is I will look for a strong muscle using a deltoid group. I will take either a few pills from the bottle or the whole bottle, it really doesn't matter, place the bottle on top of GV20. Again, this is a major systemic point to ask the body questions. And I will test that strong muscle, and the muscle should stay strong now. In other words, it shouldn't change. This is why I don't want to confuse this with direct resonance testing. But for orthomolecular, we're asking a different question. We're asking more chemistry. So what I'm looking for here is to keep the strong muscle strong. Okay, let's say it does. Then what I'll do is I'll find a weak muscle on the body. That's going back to my AK test. Most people have a weak latissimus dorsi. Most people have a weak pec clavicular. These are the common ones. The pec clavicular deals with the liver because most people have problems with phase 1, phase 2 detoxification. So you're going to get usually a weak muscle response for that muscle, a single muscle area. Or the latissimus dorsi is really simple to test when they're lying down because most people's pancreases are shot today because of our glycemic problem. And what I'll simply do then is I'll have them hold the bottle on GV20. And now let's say they had a weak latissimus in the clear. And now I'll go down and test that. And let's say now it's strong. The weak muscle gets strong. Okay, the strong muscle stayed strong. The weak muscle got strong. I would give that product because it basically kept a strong muscle strong and it strengthened a weak response in the clear. The last thing I'll test before I would give that to the patient is, are they allergic to it? Because one of the biggest problems with orthomolecular testing of any products is, and sometimes homeopathics will do this too, is they could be allergic to something in the product. Like, for instance, in a multiple vitamin, usually the magnesium stearate is in every multiple you see on the market today. Magnesium stearate, over a period of time, is a toxic excipient that's used in the manufacturing process of most multiples. And it does become a toxin to most people. So let's say, for instance, the strong muscle stayed strong, the weak muscle got strong, and now I have the patient touch the vagal point, which is a point between the ramus of your jaw and your mastoid process, like a little hollow which your finger kind of fits in there. And now I'm asking a question, is the person allergic to it? So now they touch the vagal point, doesn't matter which side it tests, right or left, and now the muscle goes weak. So now I know they have an allergy to something in that multiple. And that's when I do my allergy desensitization work, either in the Budaprods or I use the cold laser to actually clear out the allergy, have them avoid the product for a couple of days, and then put them on it. But that's the three parameters I test for orthomolecular. Does a strong muscle stay strong on testing the product on GV20? Does a weak muscle you find in the clear strengthen when the product's put on GV20? And if I touch the vagal point while it's on GV20, does the muscle stay strong? If the muscle stays strong in all three of those, it's a safe and effective product to give. It's effective and it's tolerant. But let's say, for instance, the strong muscle stays strong, but the weak latissimus doesn't strengthen. It's neutral. What that simply means is that product's not going to do anything for the patient. It's not going to really hurt them, but it's not going to benefit them. So that's just a little sideline on some of the testing. And the other way I find out, like I mentioned, is through the heart rate on what products to look for, which, again, if you didn't have some way of objectively trying to see what you look for, you'd be going through tons of nutritionals that are out there. But the simple muscle test of strong muscle staying strong, a weak muscle getting strong, and the vagal point staying strong is a quick way to assess orthomolecular. And, again, we can clear it up some more if people have questions on it. That pretty much covers the direct bioresonance testing, and I want to touch a little bit now on the TL testing, and then we'll open up for questions. The therapy localizing testing is very simple. A patient will come in, like it's a chiropractic office, for instance, and let's say they have a long-standing knee complaint, and they've been to all the orthos and neurologists and such, and they really don't feel they're in a situation now where they need a knee replacement or whatever medically. So I'll have the patient touch the area of pain. Let's say it's a right knee patellar pain. I have them touch the patella, and I'll test that strong muscle, which, again, initially is strong in the clear, and all of a sudden they're touching the area of pain and the muscle goes weak. So in applied kinesiology, this has been around for ages. This is a positive therapy localization. And what's really interesting with this, I mentioned this to Constance earlier, is that a lot of times you can be a real hero with this, because if it purely is musculoskeletal or orthopedic, you can take either the stress relief cream or the combination of the MSM spray with the stress relief cream, have them place it right on the area where they're weak, have them hold it, and immediately the muscle will go back to strength. And to me, this is telling me it's really an ortho case. It's really a musculoskeletal case. And these are your home run cases. I mean, these people, I can't even mention the number of people in the last month or two I've had where we've had them go on the stress relief cream by itself, if it tested only, or the combination of the MSM spray with it, and you're just a hero with that. It really, really helps reduce the inflammation and actually help the knee heal much more efficiently. Now, here's the catch to it. If you test the stress relief cream or the MSM spray or combination of both, and the muscle still remains weak, then you got to be a detective. Now you got to start going through your vials and seeing whether this is an immune system problem causing the knee. Maybe it's an IgG, IgE-mediated allergy. Maybe it's an immune response of some type. Then maybe something like thymus will strengthen them, which you know there that we got an immune problem affecting the destruction of possibly the knee somewhere down the line for that patient. And what I've seen recently, which has just been blowing me away with a lot of people, you'd be surprised how many times these joint issues are emotional. And something like stress relief and tranquility, or tranquility and harmony, or harmony and balance, or something like this, which deals with the balance dealing with the hypothalamus, that will actually bring strength back. So with the test kit we have and understanding what the products do, you can get a pretty good idea what's causing that problem to give positive therapy localization. And this is a real neat way of testing people when they have general pain. And I've been seeing probably in the last 2 months that a vast majority of these people, a lot of their pain is due to an emotional issue, especially shoulder pain. And it's pretty interesting stuff. So any questions on therapy localization? That's a real easy way to test people. Okay? Now, the last point I want to cover, and again, we'll open up the questions, is how many people out there have the Meridian Oil Chakra Kit? Do a lot of you people have the oils?
Yeah.
Okay. What's neat about these, I don't do this on every patient, but I'll do it a lot of times on older people or cases that might be responding as quickly to everything else I've been testing patients for. And I know Constance mentioned earlier they're coming out with a number of products to really address the chakras directly, which I think is going to be exciting to muscle test with. But basically, the way I'm using the Meridian Oil Chakra Kit is we all know there are 7 primary chakras on the body. And what's interesting with the chakras is that in Chinese medicine, each one of the 7 chakras correlates with the Chinese 5 elements. And it just so happens, if you look at your kit, that the way they're set up, they're basically set up as the 5 elements in Chinese medicine. So what I did was I kind of went to an article that was in Dynamic Chiropractic a few months ago that Dr. John Amaro put in. I don't know the exact issue it was. You can probably do a search on the internet and find it under Dynamic Chiropractic. But he tied in the correlation of the chakras with the 5 elements. And it just so happened that I had gotten the oils about a week earlier, and I said, wow, I wonder if we can kind of play with these oils and see if we can tie this in reference to the 5 elements. And what I've basically done is I'll take the oils, and like the large intestine and lung oils, of course, in Chinese medicine, deals with the metal element. The metal element equates to the 7th chakra, okay? And the 6th chakra deals with the kidney oil, which is part of the water element. The 5th chakra deals with the bladder, which is part of the water element. The 4th chakra deals with the liver gallbladder, which would be the wood element. The 3rd chakra, which would be the earth element, which would be the spleen, stomach. A pancreas is part of the spleen also in Chinese medicine. And the 2nd chakra, which is 2 inches below the navel. I guess you guys know where these chakras are. If you don't, we can kind of go through those too. But this article kind of illustrates this on a nice little chart. And the 3rd chakra is mainly the stomach. But the stomach spleen makes up the earth element. The 2nd chakra is specifically spleen, and the 1st chakra, which is the pubic bone symphysis area, deals with the fire element, which is heart, small intestine, triple warmer, circulation, sex. So to make a long story short, the way I deal with this is I will do the same thing we talked about with direct resonance testing with the oils. I'll take large intestine and lung, hold them together on GV20, and see if we get a change in the muscle. The muscle remains strong. I know that the seventh chakra, in reference to the metal element in Chinese medicine, isn't involved. And I'll just proceed down, 7, 6, 5, and let's say I find that the bladder oil weakens. Well, I'll put that on the side, so I know possibly there's a little imbalance in the fifth chakra in reference to the water element, specifically the bladder. And let's say we find second chakra shows up, and that would be spleen, which again would make a muscle change. What I do, which is real simple, is I'll take one drop of the spleen oil 2 inches below the belly button and rub it into that point, which would be the second chakra, and I would take one drop of the bladder one and rub it directly into the thymus area, which would be the fifth chakra. And I've been running heart rates pre and post to see what happens just with doing this, and it's amazing the changes just on balancing the energy chakras with these oils. And I'm sure as we play with them more and more, and if any of you have any ideas on what you're doing with them, feel free to share it. I think we're just dealing with a little different level here. We're dealing with the opening of the chakras through these oils, which I think is going to be really powerful. So that's basically a nutshell of how I use the meridian oils. And just simply putting a drop of whatever oil resonates on the actual area where the chakra is and rubbing it in. It's amazing changes we're seeing with something like that. Okay, so that pretty much covers the testing itself. I hope it was helpful on going through a lot of this information. Maybe if you listen to the tape a little more, you'll pick up some things that we went through. But like I mentioned, the constants, if any of you have any specific questions on this, maybe sometime we can do a demonstration video-wise or whatever to really see it if you're confused on it. But it's really simple once you listen to what we described. So are there any questions on any of the testing that we went through?
Yes, could you go through the chakras again, the 7 to the 1?
Sure. The 7th chakra, which is, by the way, governing vessel 20, which is at the top of the head area, is the metal element in Chinese medicine, which you would test the large intestine and lung chakra oils on. The 6th chakra, which is the 3rd eye, would be the kidney oil. The 5th chakra, which is the thymus area, which is just about maybe, an inch or two below the notch, the sternal notch area, and that would be the bladder chakra oil. The 4th chakra is directly between the breast, nipple line, which would be liver gallbladder, which you would look at the liver gallbladder oil, wood element. The 3rd chakra, which is between the xiphoid process and the belly button, halfway between there, would be the stomach oil. The 2nd chakra, which would be 2 inches below the navel, which would be the spleen. And then the pubic bone would be the heart, small intestine, triple warmer circulation sacs. It would be one or a combination of those that would actually show a weakness. And simply what you do is take a drop of each one of those oils and place them on whatever chakras you found imbalanced. And it's amazing some of the changes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are most people out there doing a form of muscle testing, or are you guys mostly doing EAV? Just kind of curious.
A little bit of all.
Any more questions on the brain neurology? Because that's an important part. Remember, clear mind and stress relief are just phenomenal for that. Because a lot of people really are messed up neurologically today.
Just a quick question on the HRV.
Sure.
You're finding that these products, in your case, moving their HRV values in that matrix?
Well, I feel what they're doing is they're definitely moving the HRV values when it comes to the energetics of the imbalance in the patient. Okay. Whereas in the past, when I would use homeopathics, because you got to remember, and this is, again, what I've been seeing with this, and you know, give me some feedback what you think, is a lot of times when we use homeopathics, we will actually cause the body to use more energy up in order to respond to the homeopathic. And in these people who are deficient in vital energy, and you're putting something in there that's really going to detox them very quickly, you can really drive these people into further fatigue and further problems with their autonomic nervous system. So to answer the question about the subtle energies, they're definitely a vital part in helping the energetics of the body for sure. Those of you who have heart rates, I'm sure Jeff will agree with this. A lot of times we'll see tension indexes both lying down and standing up, and Jeff had shared this with me a few years ago. If you see a reverse tension index where, let's say it's 400 laying down and it's 50 standing up, this is a real clear marker that the patient usually is neurologically switched, has some kind of deficient brain neurology, or it's a mental-emotional imbalance. They're the first things I look for when I see that. We see that quite a bit in a number of patients who come in that they have a reverse TI.
Can I say something, Bob, to that?
Sure.
I've started actually putting together energy tools-only programs for people.
Okay.
When they're really wiped on HRV, like 10-6 and lower,
right,
on their fitness index and real low total powers and high frequency, low frequencies, I put together 3-4 whatever they test for on the energy tools products, and I am also finding that the oils are extremely powerful to put energy into the body. I agree with you on the homeopathy. We've both done homeopathy for a lot of years, and even Sarcode and Isode formulas, they still are a stimulus response,
mm-hmm,
where the energy tools are just that. They're putting pure energy into the body. And I'm going to fax you a couple of pretty interesting responses that I've had to just pure energy tool input,
okay,
on HRV. Pretty amazing responses.
Like I mentioned earlier too, Jeff, and I'm sure you agree with this, is that many times the other missing part of this, I mean, I really feel with using the energy tool products, we have a major, major way now of assessing the actual energetics of the meridian system, of the entire organism on a different plane of either be the etheric body or whatever you want to get into the actual responses that way. But the key thing that I've seen, that when you put energy in with these products, you have got to have substance to heal with also. And this is where my whole mindset has changed in the orthomolecular. I have 4 parameters. I look at every patient. And again, I get this information from health appraisals and good case history and, of course, looking at the HRV. And the 4 things I look at is, do they have proper glycemic control? Is their pH balanced? Do they have oxidative metabolism balance? And are the electrolytes and hydration issues addressed? If we look at those 4 parameters orthomolecularly, with finding the proper way of assessing these energy tool products, what else is there for helping our patients? It's basically that in a nutshell.
What are your orthomolecular products?
I've been doing a lot of soul searching on different products, and I like to use the NutriSpect line. I've been around a number of years. I've done some research on this. I've used Neprotec for a while from MPI. My personal feeling is I don't like any products with soy in it. And there's so much studies coming out recently that are showing some of the negative effects of what soy does estrogenically in the body. I want to stay away from anything that's estrogenic production, increasing estrogen in the body. So the NutriSpect products have a very simple program. It's called the Diphasic Nutritional Program. And it's made up of some products that address what nutrients, adaptogenic substances, antioxidants we need during the daytime hours, and which ones we need in the evening. And I find by putting people on that diphasic response from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., we need products that are going to help the sympathetic response. And from 8 p.m. to 6 in the morning, we need products that are going to upregulate the parasympathetic response and help us rest and relax and repair. There's no need checking all these different nutritionals that are out there. It just gets too much of a complex merry-go-round. So we can share some more information on that. If you're interested, give me a call or so, and I can tell you some more specifics.
What is your phone number?
It's area code 570-752-4747. That's the best place to get me to the office. Also have a website now, too. It's drstashko.com. You can email me there if you want to also.
How is it you spell your name?
It's STASHKO.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any more questions on the testing? It was a lot of material to go through, but it's so simple just understanding that simple muscle change.
I have a question. This is Dr. Davis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In the process of chasing the energetics around, doing orthomolecular, this is more of a philosophical question.
Okay.
And maybe a little practical. With your testing long-term, in other words, in your turnaround period for an individual, the goal being that we're going to get them well someday.
Right.
Understanding that they're biologically chaos, energetically chaos, and also energetic. They have no energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you seeing using these particular products as far as subtle energy being able to quicken the healing time?
Well, like you mentioned before on a few other phone conferences, the stress relief and the balance I use on every patient as a nighttime dose, because again, I want to try to get those patients into a parasympathetic state as quickly as possible, because I want them to rest and repair when they're supposed to be resting and repairing. And I think that combination you mentioned a while back is definitely needed in probably 98% of the patients that walk through the door. And what I've been seeing also is the GI aid in combination with the oxygen plus really addresses a lot of this aerobic situation, this dysbiotic problem in the gut, and this problem with free radicals and oxidative stress that's basically killing people. So that's pretty much the main things I look at.
Yeah, but you've been at this a long time, just like the others that are on the call, and you've chased like we've all had, with like a dog chasing its tail over and over and over again. You know,
exactly.
We're looking for remedies to be able to affect the change, and then in the process of the change, we want their energetics to go up, not down, or stay in a plateau, right?
Exactly.
So in your observation as a practitioner, incorporating this protocol that you very nicely have presented tonight, do you see that this quickens the healing response in your patient lives and lifestyle?
Almost definitely. And I think one of the reasons for that is that the patients are really interested in seeing what comes up. They're actively participating in the process of finding what they need. And
right.
I can't tell you the amount of people that can't wait to see whether they still need to continue a product, whether they can discontinue it, what else comes up. And the interesting part, Dr. Davis, is the fact of the layering effect of what's priority. And I think this has been a missing link in a lot of the things we've done in the past. I mean, we've all chased the bugs. And we have to realize that it's a holistic situation. It's the body as a whole reacting to stress and stress responses. And I'm a firm believer in Hans Selye's work, and I've always followed his belief on if you give the body what it needs and turn on its own inherent innate wisdom to heal,
right,
the body can do amazing things. And I think sometimes we're all guilty to a degree in this practicing allopathically with natural remedies, which
exactly.
I don't think is the answer.
Right, exactly. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I set you up. I'm here as Lone Wolf in Northern California doing my thing, and I'm seeing some very dramatic, significant changes in folks. Pretty excited about it. And the thing of it is, very few people are experiencing the same thing, and you're one of those. So I appreciate what you had to say tonight.
What we have to do, I feel, and see what the rest of you think about this, we've got to start developing more cohesive ways of being more on top of things protocol-wise. We
right.
can't be out there, this one's testing this way, this one's getting that response. We can't reproduce a lot of this. And we really need to start seeing there has to be patterns to this to a degree, too. And it's one of the reasons why I got away from EAV, and there's a lot of good practitioners, Jeff being one out there, that's excellent in EAV testing. But to me, I just need more objective ways of trying to assess the information. And again, thank God for the heart rate.
Just for everyone's edification regarding the heart rate, how long did it take you to actually learn how to operate the heart rate from the learning how to read it, Dr. Stasko?
I want to thank Dr. Marangel for that, because there's not many people out there today that really has the amount of cases he ran with heart rates and the ability to take a very complex subject and make it easy to understand. Jeff, as far as I'm concerned, has been a tremendous help to me in understanding it. And what's really interesting, when you learn the basics of it, it's amazing what comes to you by seeing patterns of different patients you run. And when you see these certain patterns over and over and over, you begin to see those four parameters I mentioned earlier, people's glycemic responses, the blood sugar issues, the mind-body connection that's off. It's one thing where you have to learn the basics from it, and Jeff is the person who I really want to thank for that, because there aren't too many people who are teaching how to interpret it. So he's the man to really talk to on that.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I think it takes the first 100 just to kind of figure out what you're looking at, and then the next 1,000, you start to see the patterns.
But do you agree, Jeff, that it's a pattern
yeah.
thing? I mean,
oh, yeah. We've done thousands and tens of thousands of them, and the patterns just jump out. And you walk in a room, you look at the heart rate, and you tell the person what's going on with them because you've seen the pattern so often. And, you know, I know you're there too now, and that's a beautiful thing to see too.
Well, thank you.
So it's an independent assessment of physiology, and it's what we used originally to look at the energy tools in the beginning. And what wowed me more than, oh, cool, they test nice on EAV, is that they rock people's worlds in an objective way by moving their autonomic nervous system.
Well, sure, we all feel the same way. You know, we're all in this on the edge at times with the kind of testing we do, and we're out there kind of on the outer limits to a degree. But we all can agree tonight that we do need some science, too. And really, if we can quantify a lot of this and begin to see how the science fits into it to a certain degree, then, of course, we're going to be able to get to more people and have them understand that we're not out there just looking in a crystal ball.
That's right.
Great presentation, Bob. Excellent.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. I hope it's helpful to everyone. I mean, like I say, there's a lot of information here, and this is over probably, I would say, about 16 years of driving myself crazy, going to seminars and sitting through reflex testing after reflex testing, and this person pushing that line of nutrition, and that person pushing this. And finally, you get to the point where you got to find some logic in this whole thing. And there is a practitioner out in Colorado who actually filed out the GV20. This is not my response in testing, the GV20 and the GV26 point, and that's Dr. Michael Leibowitz. And he's really a nice fellow because he kind of doesn't like all the hype that's going on out there. The sad thing in our field is there is so much hype out there, and I really pity the practitioners who are just starting in this, who really want to help the sick people because they're getting sicker and sicker, as we all can attest to that. And it's so confusing out there because there's so much junk. So I hope that this presentation tonight at least sheds some light on things that do work. And keep it simple, because we get so lost in all this complex testing. I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just saying you got to find what's good for you and run with it.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Stasko, very much for a wonderful presentation. I hope that your questions have been answered, and we will be making a tape from this and distributing it out to everyone. And thank you very much. As always, anybody that's participated on the call, there's a 20% discount for orders placed in the next 5 days. And that's it. We'll be having another conference call in the end of September, which I'll be sending out notification to all of you. And Yuri and I are going to Russia for 9 days next week. We'll talk to you all when we get back. Office is open, and Steve and Kathy are here. So any questions or anything that you have, they'll be happy to field any calls.
Thank you very much, Constance.
Hey, thank you, Constance.
Thank you very much, Constance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.